Roundtable Podcast. My name is Brandon. We have Cooper and Austin here, as always, talking all things Alabama baseball. It's actually not going to be negative this week, but we're going to start negative because that's who we are. So in the midweek game, Alabama took on Louisiana Monroe, and they lost 5-3. We're not going to talk much about this game. It's plain and simple. We're in SEC play. We don't pitch anyone important on these games. We look for experience, and we lost. Simple as that. We didn't play anybody. It was fine. Peyton Wilson continues to be red hot in this game, though.
You can point out all the positives you want with Peyton Wilson. I'm going to keep riding that negative train because I won't get to do it when we talk about this weekend series, thankfully, but this is my one chance to be negative this podcast. What are we doing with Grayson Hitt? Like, I mean, he can pitch better than me, obviously, because, you know, he's on a D1 school and I'm just a podcaster who's never played organized baseball in his life. But still, giving up a 3-run home run to ULM in the first inning, I am very frustrated with this. Very frustrated with his performance throughout this whole season. You know, he's a bullpen guy who has a 1-3 record. That's unacceptable, you know. You're a bullpen guy. You shouldn't have a record to start off with. And you should be getting saves and not 3 losses. So just frustrating, but we turn it around in the weekend. That's all that matters.
Yeah, Austin, do you have anything to say about Louisiana Monroe?
I mean, I see this quote from Coach Berhanen. It says, "We didn't pitch well enough early. We didn't swing the bats well enough. And that's not a very good formula for winning a baseball game." I think that's about as much as you can say.
Started off on Friday, and we got a great win here, honestly. 5-3 win, come from behind victory. You know, Tyler Perez gives up 2 home runs, but only giving up 3 runs in those 2 home runs. And honestly, the early one was tough, but we were able to battle back. And the late one was after he pitched 7 1/3. So I don't have a problem with that. I mean, we can score more than 3 runs for the most part. So a 3-run outing, especially going 7 1/3 with how weak our bullpen is, I thought was pretty big. No home runs for us, but Jim Jarvis getting in there with a double, sacrifice fly for Zane Denton, couple singles. Again, I'll highlight it again. Peyton Wilson had 4 hits out of his 5 at-bats. Kid is red hot out of that leadoff spot. Seems like he's been red hot all year. You know, I was really happy with this. I was really happy with this win. I thought it was a well-deserved victory, a hard-fought victory, especially coming from behind and not hitting any home runs. I thought that was really big, and I thought it was a great start to the weekend, especially with the pitching between Lee and Raz. So what do you guys think?
Definitely a great win. Tyler Raz, outstanding, phenomenal this game. You know, a little shaky start, which is what just got on Grayson Hitt for about, you know, giving up a home run. A multi-run home run in the first inning. But, you know, he battled back, pitched 6 scoreless innings from the 2nd to the 7th. And it was just – it was a great performance by the team. Something they really needed was just a road win at an SEC school. And I think that's going to be the turning tide for this season. As we saw with the series, I think Friday's game did a big part in, like, just giving our boys confidence.
Yeah, awesome. What did you think about Friday's game?
So, and then as well as with Raz, guys, I think it's interesting to point out, you know, he gives up 2 runs in the first and gives up 1 run in the 8th in between scoreless innings. So, you know, you really can't ask for much. Those runs were definitely spaced out through that game. I think it's also a good thing for us to point out that we had a lot of guys without hits that were our main performers. You know, you see Zane Denton, you see TJ Reeves, you see Drew Williamson, you know, all those guys go hitless, we still find a way to produce. We still find a way to win. And a lot of those guys picked up some steam going into the rest of the weekend. We'll touch on Zane Denton on Saturday and Sunday for sure. But, you know, just to see that some of our top performers not performing, other guys being able to step up in an SEC game, you know, that's good to see.
Yeah, and, you know, I was watching this game on Friday, and you could just kind of tell how much it meant to them. I don't know if you guys watched the end, but, like, the cheer out of the dugout after that last strikeout was just, like, an eruption. It was like they, you know, obviously they did need it very badly, but they played like they needed it very badly, and that was great. I was really excited with how they played, and like we said, this can be a very big turning point for our season, and what a great way to start as we move into Saturday, which, Cooper, I believe that was you, correct? Or was this Austin?
That was Austin.
Keep switching it up on me, guys.
Yeah, we got to switch it up. Interesting.
Austin, take it away. So,
yeah, guys, this is a great game to watch on Saturday. Could not be more happy to announce that Dylan Smith finally gets his first win of the season, and it was a glorious win indeed. You know, the guy gives a strong showing, not exactly his best performance, gave up 3 earned runs and over 4 innings pitched, but, you know, definitely solid, definitely a controlling force on the mound. And, man, that bullpen, guys, we had over four innings of relief with no earned runs, and the guys were looking great on the mound. We had offensive power. Zane Denton steps up on Saturday, comes up with 3 hits. You know, we got a lot of momentum going in from those guys that weren't necessarily moving on Friday. That carried into Sunday as well. And, you know, just a solid game. It pretty much couldn't ask for anything better. You know, it was a 6-3. It wasn't a rout, but at all points, it looked like Alabama was in control, never trailed, and just, you know, had the win.
So I have some unfortunate news about Saturday's game.
Let's hear it.
The win was not given to Dylan Smith.
No.
Wait, what?
Yeah, because Dylan only pitched 4 1/3, and we scored. Wait, but he was in the fourth. Why wouldn't we? Yeah. We took the lead.
Yeah.
I guess he didn't pitch a full 5 innings to record the win.
Oh.
They did it to him again.
I just didn't look because I thought they called it for him.
Like flowers or something. Like this kid, I feel so bad. Oh my God.
I thought they called it for him at the game. I was watching the game. I'm pretty sure they called it for him. They must have changed it.
Yeah, they did. I was watching it too, and I was like, let's go. Like, Dylan finally got one.
Did, like, the scorekeeper change?
They must have.
Must have. Shamblin gets the win.
Oh, it's so upsetting.
It's upsetting.
Okay, but
champagne.
Yeah, no champagne.
Because that's what I said last week, was when he gets his win, we pop that thing, but it stays on ice at least another weekend.
Well, we did win a game that Dylan Pitt started for the first time.
That's true.
That's true. I'm pretty sure that's true.
I think we want to
get
games in the conference season. This is his first SEC win in the game he pitched, where he's not awarded the win.
You know what? By our stat books, Dylan Smith got the win. And that's the only stat book you should really care about. So, no, but we'll get back to it. Like you said, Austin, this was a great game. I mean, we came out so hot. You know, just Zane Denton, he's just an absolute ball player. Just dude can hit. I will say it again. Peyton Wilson got 2-3 at bats and hit 2. He only had 1 hit, but he had 2 runs out of it. So, again, just this team is firing on all cylinders. The win on Friday was huge. Pushed it here. Again, Dylan pitched well. Shamblin pitched well. And even Landon Green pitched really well. So, bullpen seemed to be doing all right and got the win here.
Another thing I want to touch on, guys, is the plate awareness that we saw from the guys. I mean, especially watching on Saturday, the base on balls, the walks that led to runs in this game on Saturday, especially, you know, there was a great discipline shown on the plate, and it really mattered, and it brought in runs for the team. So, I mean, you know, it definitely contributed to the bottom line, and it was just great to see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So then we move into Sunday, where Alabama was looking for the sweep, and now Cooper.
And they got it. They got the sweep, and it was amazing. You know, back and forth, A&M takes a 1-run lead. We go ahead and score 3 in the top of the third. make it 3-1 off some nice plays. You know, Denton got an RBI single, and then Prater got a sack fly out to left field to make it 3-1, you know. But then A&M battles back. They get a couple of runs of their own at that. It's all tied up at 3 after the third inning. And then we trade runs in the sixth, but who is it? The best Canadian in all the world, Owen Diodati, with a 3-run blast in the top of the seventh to eventually win us the game 7-4. I mean, it was just amazing to see a sweep, you know, see us finally get a win just in the SEC series in general. And, oh, this felt great. And you could just tell the whole team felt it off Diodati's home run.
A, I just want to say that there are multiple Canadians on this campus that play for athletics that are great. So let's just in Canada as a whole. Just want to start that off. But you're absolutely right. The Canadian hammer. Just saving the day. Again, I'm going to bring it up. Aiden Wilson, 2 more hits. I'm just saying. Out of that leadoff spot, the kid is nasty. But overall, this is a great game. You know, Jacob Maneri got the win, which he only pitched three and two-thirds innings, so I don't know how he got that win, unless it's only the starter. But anyway.
It's only the starter who has to go 5. It's then whoever is on the mound when we score.
So upset about that. But anyway, overall, just a great game. Great to get that win. They were excited. It was, I think this was a great jumping off point for a turning point in the season. So great win.
For sure, guys. And like, you know, to see how we've had these hard fought games that have gone to the last wire, gone to the last minute, to come out on top in the seventh and be able to stay there and be able to close off a win in the win column and get the sweep is just a great moment for the baseball team this semester, going into the rest of this SEC play season, to be able to have the sweep going on our backs as we go to face the Cal College across the state. And I think it's going to help sports a lot.
Yes, indeed. And we do have a very big matchup with that Cal College next week, which we will talk about coming up next on part 2. So stick around.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
Roundtable podcast. We are looking ahead to next week's matchups for Alabama baseball. We start off on Tuesday in Tuscaloosa with in-state baseball with Samford. Guys, what do we think here? I'm kind of excited for this game. I think it's gonna be a
midweek game. I'm expecting to be disappointed. Just honestly, I got to be disappointed after this.
Pessimistic Cooper's back.
Yeah, Pessimistic Cooper's back just because we've lost our last two. ULM, Southern Miss. Granted, both of those schools are from Mississippi, so maybe there's something in the water there that just makes baseball players outstanding, you know, from those midweek small schools. We've done pretty well against the Alabama teams, but just expecting to be disappointed because Pessimistic Cooper is back. I think after this high of a series sweep against A&M, I think we come out tired and groggy and don't play our best.
That's fair. Austin, what do you think?
You know, I'm not sure how to feel about this one, guys, because you look at their past schedule results, you see getting blown out by Texas A&M in their series, but then you can also see close games. I mean, losing 9-10 against Florida, playing a close game. You know, there are games scattered in here where they've played really well and won against, you know, equal level competition. So I kind of see a ULM pattern building here. But I think we can pull out this midweek game. I think it's going to be a solid win for us.
Yeah, at a certain point, these midweek games need to mean something. I understand we're trying to, like, test things out. But as the season I mean, obviously we're still far away from the season ending. But as the season slowly continues at a certain point for seeding for both the SEC tournament and the NCAA tournament, these midweek games are going to be make or break So I'm expecting Bohannon to put a little bit more dense of a lineup and maybe somewhat better of a pitcher in against Samford to get the win. And I'll start off with predictions. I'm going a 6-3 victory for the Crimson Dub.
I'll say we do exactly what we do last week, do 3-5 loss for the Crimson Tide.
I think it is interesting to point out, too, guys, that Samford is 4-0 in state competition. They've played Troy, they've played UAB, and Jacksonville State. They beat all three, beat Troy twice. I think it's going to be really close. I'm going to call Alabama 4-3-10.
Ooh, extra innings game on a Tuesday, huh? Bonus baseball. All right. The next game we have is Thursday. Little Thursday starts this series against Auburn in Tuscaloosa. I don't like Auburn. I really don't. And that's like the most dialed down, nicest way I could put it. That's acceptable for this show.
Thank you. All I have to say is thank you for dialing as far down as you could go. But I have to agree with you. I don't like Auburn either. They are just – there's something about them.
They're worse than Lowdown Dirty Snitches.
They are worse than
Lowdown Dirty Snitches. There's, like, Lowdown Dirty Snitches, and then there's, like, worse than that. And that would be Auburn. Like, if you went in an encyclopedia and it was, like, Lowdown Dirty Snitches definition, and then it was, like, things related to and beneath that, it would just be Cam Newton's picture – and the Auburn logo. That's all.
There you go. There you go. Thankfully, great baseball this season. So,
yeah.
Should be easy to assert our dominance as in the state in this series.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, I guess we'll start off the predictions. Thursday night, 6 p.m., Alabama versus Auburn at home. It's really tough not to be amped to play in this game, regardless of what competition sport you play at this school. When you're going up against the blue and orange, it's time to put a beating down. So Alabama wins 10-2.
I'll hop on that bandwagon. I'll make it a little closer. I'll say 9-3. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt of one run.
There you go. Awesome.
There's two things I'm going to point to for my predictions on this series. Start off with the sweep by Kentucky for the Auburn Tigers that I think goes into our favor. But something that I know we pointed out in our SEC around the week a few weeks ago of that 33-0 powerhouse win against Alabama A&M. Auburn definitely has the ability to get the bats moving, even though I would hate to say that. I think it's going to be a high-powered Thursday game. I'm going to say 9-7 Alabama.
All right. We move into Friday. Friday's also another – wow. We have three late games. I did not realize that until just now. So we move into Friday. We have another 6 p.m. first pitch. I think this one is going to be tough, but get the champagne ready, boys, because Dylan Smith is going 7 innings with 11 strikeouts and a 5-0 victory. For the Crimson Tide, they shut him out.
God, that sounds beautiful. I am ready. I'm ready for that to be the reality for Dylan Smith. I don't want to be the pessimistic one. I don't want to be that guy. So I'm going to be overly optimistic. Just make an obscure, like, just not going to happen prediction. On Friday against Auburn, Dylan Smith, 9 innings. 27 up, 27 down. Calling it.
Are you calling a perfect game for Dylan
Smith? I'm calling a perfect game for Dylan Smith because I know he can do it. 3-0 perfect game win for Dylan Smith on Friday.
I'm just gonna put the forewarning out right now. If Dylan Smith throws a perfect game on Friday and you are an Auburn fan that happens to follow me on Twitter, you should delete the app, delete your account, probably throw your phone out, you burn your TVs, like any kind of way you can see my commentary on the baseball game, get rid of it because it's not going to be fun for you. Just saying.
It will not be fun for any Auburn fan if that happens. Now, there is a one in gazillion chance that that happens, but I want to stop being pessimistic, so I'm going to be overly optimistic and call a perfect game for our man Dylan Smith finally getting his first win. They won't find a way to take that away from him.
I like it. I like it. Awesome.
Maybe this week I won't have to take back my joy. We're going to call another win for Dylan Smith this week for the third time in a row. Third time's the charm. We're getting it done. The scorekeeper can't keep it away. We're going to say, I'm not going to be quite as optimistic as Cooper, even though he's tempting me and pushing me in that direction. I can't one up a perfect game. So I am going to go 3-1 Alabama.
I like it. I like it.
Here's how you up a perfect game. The Auburn player also pitches not a perfect game, but a shutout. We go 18 innings. Dylan Smith throws two complete perfect games, and Diodati hits a walk-off home run in the 18th inning.
I just want to know, are you going to pay for Dylan Smith's Tommy John surgery after that game or what?
I'll start a GoFundMe.
Right. No. One up in a perfect game would be Dylan Smith going 27 up, 27 down, and Owen Diodati hits for the cycle. Which I don't even think you can do in our stadium because there's nowhere in the stadium that you can hit a triple. But
yeah. Like, I would, after last weekend showing, I would almost put my bets on Zane Denton for the cycle.
There you go.
Yeah.
Or Kate Wilson. Just saying.
Or the one up of a perfect game, 9 immaculate innings, 9 pitches, 9 strikes. He only pitches 81 pitches. They're all strikes. They're all strikeouts. It'll never be done in baseball, but that's how
never, but that's insane.
Yeah.
All right, so we move into Saturday, 4 p.m. We'll get off the Dylan Smith hype train here. But 4 p.m., finish up the series. I'm going for the series sweep, guys, and as Fluff used to do and say, get out the brooms. Let's go 5-2 victory to end the series. We got 2 sweeps in the SEC, and we're moving forward.
I'm going to follow your example. I'll call the sweep because I think we can do it. It's very realistic against this 1-11 Auburn right now in conference play. But this won't be a low-scoring game. I'm looking back at their past series against Mississippi State. They lost 10-19, but it's still a barn burner. I think we can do the same here at the Joe. So I'm going on Saturday. We win a tight one, 16-13. It'll be the weirdest baseball game ever, but hey, get ready to see a lot of runs scored, but we come out on top.
All right. Awesome.
I feel a little bit like Saturday's going to match my prediction for Thursday. I'm going to go Alabama 7, Auburn 4. I think it's going to be a strong showing. I think we get the sweep last weekend. We get the sweep this weekend. We're getting propelled forward and we got to run for the SEC West.
Awesome. Well, with that being said, that's our predictions for next week. When you come back, we'll be talking a little bit of SEC, and then we have some bones to pick with the MLB from our resident Braves fan. So stick around, and we'll be right back.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
The Right Field Roundtable Podcast. We are back talking SEC scores from the weekend and some MLB stuff that may or may not need to be addressed by certain resident Braves fans, but we'll talk about that when it comes to it. So we'll start off on Thursday, though, where Georgia beats number one Vanderbilt 14-2.
Stunned silence.
Like, I don't know what to say.
I had to say that it was stunned silence because our podcast listeners might have thought that their podcast was broken if they heard that much silence, but
yeah,
it's just one game. I mean, you have to think of it like that, right?
I guess. Yeah. It just like with, I don't know. I'm not ready to react to this one yet. Cause I like, I'm still in so much shock from the fact that it happened. I agree with you. It's one game, because then Vanderbilt did come out and get the win the next day. But, you know, with the pitching that Vanderbilt has on day one and day two, it's very weird to see them lose day one or day two. So,
and then don't let it go unnoticed, guys, that Georgia did pull out a second win to win this series.
Yeah. Not one game. Not one game. I don't know, man. At this point in baseball, anybody can beat anybody. And if you get to Omaha, you have a chance. That's pretty much it at this point. Get there and you have a chance. Survive in advance. So I don't know. We'll have to unpack this a little more. But like we said, the East is very good with teams like South Carolina, like Florida, like Georgia. They can definitely make a run at the throne, and clearly they did. So we'll have to keep an eye on that as the series progresses. But, you know, Vandy might not be the big bad wolf as they seem to be. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. But we'll move into Friday. You know, the thing I kind of wanted to look at was Missouri beating South Carolina. Missouri, not the best team in the SEC. In fact, the worst team in the SEC. But, and like we said, we have South Carolina coming in at number 11 this week. I think it beat 7-2. And it continues to prove my point. Survive in advance, play good baseball when you can, and try to be that advance. That's pretty much it. You know, South Carolina's a good team. It's one loss. What are you going to do? Guys?
Remember? What are you going to do? I'm going to look at this LSU-Kentucky. And we've highlighted LSU before. Call them that office meme, snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap. They were on Friday, where they beat Kentucky 15-2. And that is just crazy. They were definitely hitting the ball well. I mean, 15 runs, that's incredible right there. And they were spread out, 5 in the fifth. A couple ones and twos around, 6 in the top of the ninth. At that point, you got to assume, though, that, like, hey, let's cool it a little bit, you know? Like, top of the ninth, we're up 9-2. We don't need to be scoring 6 runs. But, hey, they did it, and they posted that impressive score of 15-2. So, props to them. If they can keep it up, they can maybe be a threat in the SEC. But, you know, it's LSU. They'll probably just go ahead and lose, you know, to Georgia or somebody, or Missouri the next series.
Yeah, that's fair. We'll have to see. Again, LSU's one of those teams that just football back and forth. Austin, what did you see on Friday?
Looking at the Tennessee-Florida game, we got Tennessee coming out 6-4. I think that, you know, this is a top 10 team battle. This is going to be two teams that are really going to be competing for the top of that ACC. And, you know, we see, I think I've mentioned it on here before, we got Chad Dallas from Tennessee. Continues to pitch extremely well, improves to 5-0 on the season, gets the win with 11 strikeouts, pitching 7 innings. And man, that guy's a beast and someone we do not want to see on the mound come time.
Yeah. Yeah. He's ridiculously good, really scary. So, like we said, SEC is good. People are going to beat people. And that's just how it's going to be for the end of time, basically. But moving into Saturday, one thing I wanted to highlight was the doubleheader between number 2 Arkansas and number 3 Ole Miss. I thought this was really exciting, really entertaining. Arkansas got the first one 7-3, and then Ole Miss came back in the second one with a 13-6 win. Again, this just speaks to how good the SEC is. And these were two really, really good, hard-fought games by two really, really good teams. So, overall, you know, this was fun. It was good to watch, you know, interesting with the circumstances in Mississippi, with their crowd things. It was kind of weird to watch like a full capacity baseball game, considering we haven't seen a full capacity like sporting event for a while. But overall, it was a good watch and great game between two really, really good teams. Cooper, what'd you see?
I saw that Florida-Tennessee game. And Tennessee won again, 5-4. But Florida out hit them 9-4. So It's just crazy that Tennessee scored more runs than they had hits. Like, you got to think those are some of the games that the Gators got to win if they want to be at the top of this East Division. You know, they had a 3-0 lead going in to the sixth inning where Tennessee scored 5 runs. And, you know, and they took a 5-3 lead. Florida got one in the top of the ninth, but wasn't enough. So, like, if the Gators are going to prove themselves as one of the top teams in the East, as I've been calling them, and trying to get at least one prediction right on this podcast, you know, they need to win the games where they outperform their team. And this is just one of those showings where they should have won, but they didn't, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. I think Florida's just got to put some pieces together. And Tennessee's good. Like, Tennessee is good.
So, and they're higher ranked than Florida, but – you know, when you out-hit your opponent by 5 hits,
you need to win.
You should win.
Yeah, 100% agree with you on that one. Austin, what did we see from Saturday?
Previewing our hopeful key to success, looking at Mississippi State and Auburn, the 7-2 victory for Mississippi State, and just a dominant pitching performance for them. Guys, you know, you see the freshman starting, Will Bednar, struck out 7 batters in 7 innings, only giving up 1 run. And then just a crazy stat to see, they struck out 10 straight Auburn hitters to end the game. You know, I think this is an Auburn team that we've definitely seen move the bats in non-conference games, even in some conference games. But then also to see the capacity for them to be able to be shut out like this, I think bodes well for us on the weekend. And I think bodes well for my man Dylan Smith as we jump back on the bandwagon to predict the win.
And the perfect game.
And the perfect game, yes. And the 9 immaculate innings.
Agree. Like you said earlier, Austin, Auburn can either get going or not get going at all. So, obviously, that was a game that they couldn't get going. But moving in Sunday, speaking of teams that could get going, back into that 2-3 matchup, Arkansas beats Ole Miss 18-14, with both teams getting 13 hits for Arkansas and 14 hits for Ole Miss. I mean,
crazy.
It's just two really good teams that hit the ball really well. And I think that was – who was that yours, Austin, that the or Cooper's prediction that Saturday is just going to be an absolute bloodbath?
That was me. I was looking at Auburn's game where they lost 19-10. I'm just seeing this score for now. It was 11-5 at the end of 3.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
It was insane. Two really good teams that can hit the ball really well, and clearly that the Sunday pitchers were a little tired and the bullpen was a little exhausted, and boy, did both teams take advantage of it. Obviously, Ole Miss having those 2 errors contributed to their loss, but crazy game. Crazy game.
Crazy.
Cooper?
I'll look back at that Florida-Tennessee series. Gators get the win, avoid the sweep. They win 7-6. Again, out-hit Tennessee 11-2. It was a good win for Florida so that they didn't get swept by Tennessee. You know, they could prove that, hey, we can win something. But, you know, is this really a win for Florida? I feel like if they wanted to prove themselves as a team to beat in the East, they should have won this series. That's going back to the previous 2 games, but hopefully this gets them on the right track. I don't know who they play next. They play Missouri, so pretty easy. And their midweek game is actually against in-state rival Florida State tomorrow or Tuesday at 7. So should be psyched and pumped for that, you know, and then they go into a pretty easy series against Missouri. So Florida, you just got to look out for them. I feel like they're going to be one of those sneaky teams, even though they didn't really prove it against Tennessee this weekend.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that Florida State game is probably a good turning point game. You know, I think any kind of rivalry game will be, you know, inspiring for a team. So we'll see. Again, playing Tennessee at home is tough. Tennessee is a really good baseball team. Playing Tennessee, period, is tough this year. So, you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt. You know that Florida's also just not taking advantage of runners on base without hitting. And, you know, I don't – this series didn't really give me any
bad thoughts about Florida. I still think they are very much a competitor for the East and will improve throughout the rest of the year. So, Austin, what did you see on that Sunday?
Speaking of the East, looking at South Carolina versus Missouri, 13-4 win for them. They do pick up the series after dropping one to the lowly Tigers. But, you know, we saw a 13-hit game, solid pitching all around. You know, they definitely bounced back from that drop game this weekend. And I think that they will still continue to be a force. Like we've all mentioned, you know, one game is a game. You keep moving forward. I think it is going to be really interesting between them and Florida to see about that SEC East battle.
100% agree. 100% agree. Like, you know, South Carolina, all of them in the East are good with the exception of Missouri. I think everybody's good. It's going to be interesting, man, to see who are those the 12 teams that get to go to the tournament. So we'll see. But, you know, I want to move into something else. We'll talk about the MLB here, because I feel like our man Austin needs a little bit of a platform here and a little bit of a soapbox as I'm rewatching this travesty to baseball. Austin, take it away.
So after a great start to our weekend, guys, you know, I got kind of overreacted on our weak start to the season. We're winless through the first few games. We finally get going. The Braves are against the Phillies. We roll into our series finale this weekend. And, you know, just we have missed calls in baseball. It happens. It's a human game. Umpires, you know, that's how it goes. We miss a call at the plate. Guys, it's not sure how it goes. 50-50 call, you know, that's what you make in the heat of the moment, right? So then might I add that this is just, you know, the go-ahead run to end and decide the game on Sunday evening. So then we head into the review booth for Major League Baseball, and pretty much proven that the guy does not touch home plate, and the call is just not – the correct call is not made. The correct call has still not been corrected by MLB. There's not been an official statement to announce that they were incorrect in this call. And, you know, just to see – you see the pouring in from all across baseball. You see players. You see former coaches, fans – Mike Trout, you know, just guys all across the league. They're just saying, you know what, this is just the wrong call. And I think the most telling thing about it is a reporter asked the guy who, I use air quotes here, crosses home plate to win the game for the Phillies. When asked if he thought he was safe after the game, he says, and I quote, "I was called safe. That's all that matters." So, you know what, guys, like the old sportsmanship, pass it on commercial from our youth, I would have liked to see the guy step up a little bit and, you know, show a little class, but it's okay. You know, we're going to move on. We're going to step away from this, and we're going to control the National League this season. It's just a minor setback, guys.
So the one thing about this call that really, like, totally baffles me is this is not this, like, this is one of the two worst calls I've seen in baseball that coming out of the NL East just this weekend. Obviously this, it doesn't even come close to touching the plate, which is absolutely ridiculous. But how about the Mets leaning into a pitch into the strike zone to win the bet, to win the baseball game? Like, the ump goes, strike three, take your base. That's literally the call he made. And then they go to review it, and he still goes to – I
agree. That was a terrible call too, because, like, he leaned into it. You know what's bad? When the Mets broadcasters, even a Mets or a Marlins fans, but I saw this on Twitter, the Mets broadcasters were like, oh, he leaned into that pitch. Why do that? That's a, they're not going to call him out? What, that's not revealable? Okay, Mets win, I guess. But their own broadcasters had a problem with it. So, just two bad calls from the NL East. I was watching the Braves play, Austin, you were talking about. I'm going to throw my support behind it. He didn't touch the plate. Who's your catcher? Darno, I think.
Right? And you know, these two games are just a case study for the MLB needing to completely overhaul what calls are considered reviewable and not. you know, I think there needs to be a massive undertaking this offseason to get it squared away to where all common sense calls can be reviewed and be able to be overturned on the field of play.
Yeah, I think to make it more entertaining, MLB should go completely opposite. You just sit Angel Hernandez down in your room with all the games on at one time, and you just go to him and you're like, hey, Angel, in this game, outer shape, and he's clearly going to mess it up, and it's just going to be great. Like, you are going to know if your team is good or not at that point. Like, you're just going to be blind hope on Angel Hernandez making the right decision, which is never going to happen. So
that'll be funny. I'll throw my support behind Austin's point. I'll take it one step further, though. Completely computerized umpires. No need for the human element ever again. Pitch zone, strike zone, let the computer judge that. Let people in a video booth review safe calls. There is no need for blues or umps or whatever you want to call them on the field anymore.
Yeah.
It's really bad, too. You have to wonder, though, guys, if this would have been different and if the Major League Baseball organization would have stepped in to overturn this call if it would have been a meaningful game and not a early season call.
I also just think the MLB in general is run by the dumbest man in the country. Like, Rob Manfred is so bad. How many times are we going to watch the MLB continually mess up and him say nothing?
I don't know. You know, a lot of leagues don't like their commissioners. People have their problems with Goodell. In the NHL, people have their problems with Bettman. And that's just because that's just the nature. You're going to not like the man in charge. But Manfred of that bunch, I feel like, is the most often the guy under fire, you know?
But the difference between Manfred and Goodell, like, Goodell inputs things that the Players Association, like, just recently, the numbers thing, like, hey, we don't want to have restrictions on our numbers. Okay, cool. Like, that's fine. We can do that. Like, at least he's accepting of, like, he has meetings with the PA. Mind you, he might not take a lot of their ideas, but he does take the time to listen to them and implement some of them. You know, I am an NHL fan, but not as big. I can't speak to that. But, I mean, Manfred, you have a cheating scandal that you did nothing about. There's been several people suspended for more games for simply hitting a batter than the Astros in general. You have blown calls. Bang on the trash cans, but you have blown calls. You just have ridiculous suspension and fine after ridiculous suspension and fine for absolutely nothing. It's ridiculous. I can't stand it. Everything he's ruled on is wrong. Everything that comes up, like, a pitcher will intentionally throw out a batter and the batter looks at him the wrong way, and Rob Manfred's like, that looks like a $100,000 fine and you can't play for 4 days. Like, he is so bad. I can't stand it.
Definitely agree. Just can't stand it. Make us the commissioner. We'll each share the role. Three of us, we can be the commissioner of the MLB, and we'll do a much better job than Manfred, starting with suspending everyone on the Astros a month.
We're letting Pete Rose back into baseball, and we're ejecting the Astros organization.
Altuve, you better find another job, because
– Like, literally, you're going to have on your schedule, like, hey, you have a free weekend of 3 days because your series with the Astros is canceled and you just get to talk to Pete Rose for, like, a week. That's it. Pete Rose just comes to talk to you. You get a win. It's just like, Pete Rose is like, hey, I'm back in baseball, guys. It would be better. Can't say it wouldn't be.
it would be better. Pete Rose is a debate for another time.
Yeah, no. I don't actually think. That was a reaction. We'll just suspend the Astros without letting anyone back in. About that.
Sounds good.
Or we can let in one of the teams from Japan.
Maybe.
Expansion team.
We could expand the team. That'd be fun. If I was a commissioner for a day, I'd pardon Shoeless Joe. That would be my deal. I know it's 100 years too late, but I'd pardon Shoeless Joe because I believe in my heart of hearts that Shoeless Joe Jackson did nothing wrong.
Yeah, that's fair.
So if I could do anything as commissioner, it would be that.
If I could do anything as commissioner, you know what I'd do? I would find whoever that Boston writer that was the only one that didn't unanimously vote Derek Jeter into or Mariano Rivera into the Hall of Fame, and I would take away his vote because that's just ridiculous. That would be my thing. Obviously, the Astros is one thing, but
yes.
Can't let the Sandman be robbed like that. It's terrible. Austin, what would you do for a commissioner as a dev?
Well, quite honestly, guys, it'd probably just be some little slight under-the-ground adjustments to improve the Atlanta Braves' chances in the NL East.
Such as?
You know, maybe we can just suspend some Phillies players for certain actions that they, you know, may have prescribed to do this past weekend. Or, you know, just kind of throw some guys out every weekend before the Braves game comes up, you know?
So these aren't underground at all. Like, they're going to be very obvious. You're just not going
to – very in your face, yeah. You got to throw the media spin on it.
Okay, got it.
That's fair.
Yeah, it just – baseball needs help. And I don't know who needs to help it, but someone does.
Someone does.
We need, like – what's Cal Ripken Jr. doing right now? Like, could we hire him as commissioner? Because I feel like he would do a great job.
He might. I feel like he's teaching baseball somewhere, you know?
Well, like, if someone offered him it, he would probably do it. He could get, like, 3,000 whatever days in a row in the office, like, come in on Christmas. I'm telling you, the dude would not quit. It would be great. Or like, Ichiro. We could get Ichiro to do it. Like, there's a lot of good candidates, former players, that would definitely do a better job.
Would be mate. This is coming from a Rays fan, so you know, be excited about it. Maybe Jeter, you know, not a big Jeter fan, but Jeter could do. He's owning the Marlins right now, right?
Yeah, he owns the Marlins right now. I don't think he's gonna.
He could do it.
Jeter just got married, man. But I would love it. Oh, I would love it.
Yep.
I would say Chipper Jones in the front office chair.
Ooh.
That's tough though, because Chipper Jones has a bunch of rivalries with so many different organizations and people in the league. Like, I like it because I do like Chipper Jones, but man, he would ruffle a lot of feathers.
If I had to pick a race person, it would be Joe Madden, former manager Joe Madden, to be there. I think he could do a good job, commissioner.
When and if Evan Longoria retires, I would pick him out of the Rays.
Yeah.
Or
Rays owner, Stu Sternberg. Let's get him out of the ownership of the Rays, move him to the commissioner job so someone who actually likes the team could make decisions, you know?
Yeah. There you go. Supporting the team right there.
Yeah, you want to open the floodgates about someone who I don't like. That's Stu Sternberg. So we won't get into that, but
yeah,
stupid Montreal, stupid that whole plan. We're getting off topic,
and it's
way off topic.
Baseball just started, and we're already complaining. I love it. Like, this is awesome. But yeah, Cooper, would you like your time to talk about the Yankees series?
I would.
I'll let you gloat.
I won't gloat too much. You know, we won the series. A little disappointed we gave up 4 runs in the top of the 10th in that final series. Really wanted the sweep. But, you know, Randy Arozarena coming through clutch, as he always does. And just a lot of good hits. You know, 10 runs in that first game. It was just good to see the offense get started after losing to Boston 9-1 over the week. So, you know, it was a good series. The Yankees played hard. I don't want to gloat too much because it's fine. I did see part of the rivalry getting heated up again, and that's all I want is for a good Yankees-Rays rivalry. I think that makes for good baseball throughout the year.
Yeah, nothing violent, just a casual disliking of each other.
It's just a casual dislikeness. You know, we'll never get to the Yankees Red Sox level. I get that, but you know, a good rivalry is what we need.
Yeah, that's just all we need, and it's been there for a while. But
it's been there.
I was so torn though because I have a Runs Arena on my fantasy team, and that did let me win the matchup this weekend. So I was like, all right, well, like, so, but yeah, I mean, like I said, it's April and we're already getting into it. So
it's April and we're talking about baseball like it's in September. Playoffs are coming.
I mean, the Rays haven't even started. They're losing on purpose to be 500 to get to the All-Star game. So like,
oh, wow. All right. We are 4-5, just so you know. So that Sunday loss made us sub 500. So we're sticking to the course.
That's what I said. You aren't losing on purpose. You're just playing.
We're just playing.
But like sometimes the Rays are like, what is this clinch the division stuff? Hold on.
Yeah. What's first place, you know?
The Rays get on the phone. They're like, hello, Boston, New York? No?
you want first? We're
so okay. Honestly, the Rays are a good ball club, and they're getting better and better. So
we're getting better. What's sad is that you can make a whole bullpen out of the guys on our injured reserve list right now. Just a good bullpen that could go in and compete on any team. And
yeah.
So, you know, injuries plaguing us at the start of the season.
Yeah. But now that we're so off topic, I guess it's a good time to end the show now, right? I mean, this one's been going for a while, so
we gotta do our jerseys though.
Oh, the jerseys,
the final round.
Goodness, we haven't even done the jerseys yet. Okay, yeah, let's do it.
Sorry to all the listeners, but we just got on a tangent and we took it, you know? That's what happened. So the final jerseys. We got the Florida Gators coming out of Cooper's bracket. We got the Ole Miss Rebels coming out of Brandon's quadrant, his part of the bracket. And Austin, your final ended in a tie, Vandy, Kentucky. So call it right now on the podcast. Who's advancing to the final three for you?
Live, I will announce that the Vanderbilt Commodores will be moving on to the next round.
Yeah.
Can't be the Patriotic Unis, guys. I mean, I'm just counting on red-blooded, American-loving Patriots to vote in this election and call it for the Commodores.
I like that tactic.
I like that. I'm going with the Florida of my category. I think their white unis that kind of resemble the Dodgers are just clean. They're very clean. They look nice on the field. So vote for the Gators, you know. That is just a clean jersey. Austin, what's your pitch for Ole Miss?
So my pitch for Ole Miss is they're baby blue. Like, we've talked about this so many times on this podcast. They're awesome. Like, they just look so clean. They just do it. They make it look really well. So I'm not going to advocate for votes on Ole Miss, but I will say in the competition of me wanting to win, I will say go vote for Ole Miss. So So with that being said, now this is the end of the show. Be on the lookout for Cooper, Austin, and I's Twitter for the final poll of the three jerseys. Thank you for listening to us rant about Rob Manfred for however long we went. And stick around next week. We'll be back after a heated series with the Auburn Tigers. So this has been the Right Field Roundtable Podcast, and thanks for listening.